Max say it, isn't so?
Yes, now.
I got my guest. Oh, I'm so happy. Now, see, by the time this show is over, there should not be an unanswered question left, okay? We are happy to have with us today. Now, Nashville, you know I've interviewed both of these gentlemen separately, and it became abundantly clear to me as I saw the headlines and seeing reactions to things that is, let's put two great, brilliant minds together to help the people so they can get some questions answered and better understand their Christian journeys and understand a lot of things that smoke and mirrors going on in the media. And they laughing already. And we are happy to have returning guest Dr. Lee N. June. He serves as Associate Provost for Academic Support Services and Multicultural Issues, Vice President for Student Affairs and Services, and Professor in the College of Education at Michigan State University. He has previously served in the role of Director of Counseling Center at Michigan State. He is active in his local church congregation. And we also author of the book Yet with a Steady Beat, The Black Church Through a Psychological and Biblical Lens. And we are happy to have Dr. Keith Augustus Burton. He is president of Life Heritage Ministries. He is also adjunct instructor of religion at the Florida Hospital College of Health Sciences and previously served as a professor of theology at Oakwood College, Huntsville, Alabama. Thank you to both of you, and of course, author of the book, The Blessing of Africa. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
How are you today? We're glad to have both of you together with us.
It's an honor to be with you.
Now, here's what we want to do today for Nashville, and then at 8 o'clock, we'll pull in our friends from Z88 in Athens, Georgia. There, as you can very well tell, and I know that everyone has been glued to the set watching the headlines and the news of the day, and it seems as though people are riveted almost to the degree of watching a Super Bowl game of what will Reverend Wright say next? What will he do next? What are those black folks doing in those churches? Lord, have mercy. Now, let me start right now with you, Dr. Burton.
Yes, uh-huh.
Let's get the preliminaries out of the way. Now, are the people in your region talking about this Jeremiah Wright Obama situation like they are here in Nashville?
Most definitely, it's the barbershop conversation, school conversation, work conversation. It's happening everywhere.
And what are they saying?
Well, of course, I'm hearing two dominant views. One is Dr. Wright should have waited, and the other is, well, you know, if Obama threw the first shot, then it's fair game for Wright to respond.
Okay. All right. Now, let me ask you, Dr. June, are they riveted in your region as well?
Yes. As a matter of fact, he mentioned the barbershop. I taught Bible study this past week, and we took the Bible study time to talk about that.
Uh-huh.
And people, I agree with him, but they're also trying to make sense out of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what really is going on and what should be their response and, you know, also some speculation of what they wish would happen on the national scene.
Mm-hmm. Now, last time we talked with you, Dr. June, you said something that I wrote down because I felt it was very important to what is going on with us in our country. You called it a teachable moment.
Yes.
And it still continues to be that. Don't you agree?
Yeah, but it's not being used, in my opinion, as in that particular way.
Mm-hmm.
I commend CNN the other week for at least showing the full speech, but then they quickly kind of got back to the caricatures and these little sound bites.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to spend much more time understanding the black church and black religion and black people within America, and they're just not spending the time. It's still a teachable moment, but it's not being used that way.
Dr. Burton, what is your opinion on what the national media is doing with this situation, this topic? The reason why I'm asking you that is because I don't ever recall in my life, even with the inflammatory, racist remarks of Jerry Falwell, with America being so obsessed with a pastor like they are with this one.
Well, you know, I see it as a misunderstanding of the black church and a lack to even want to understand of the black church and the black experience. when I heard the snippets from Reverend Wright's sermon, you know, I must tell you, I was not appalled at all, because soon after 9/11, I preached a very similar sermon in my own church, which is actually on YouTube. And
You're going to be on Hannity and Combs next week. No, go ahead.
Well, actually, I really don't mind, because when I look at the discussion, I see it as a discussion between prophet and politician.
Yes.
And Jeremiah Wright is a prophet. You know, he's a prophet. He's a pastor. He's a preacher. He does what preachers do, at least what a lot of black preachers do. Mm-hmm. And the discussion, I think, became a little muddied when Obama gave his speech on race. And I think it was a brilliant speech in many ways. But when we look at the way in which, on one end, he sort of hugged Jeremiah Wright and said, I can no more dismiss him than I could dismiss my own grandmother. But then he mentioned that Jeremiah Wright was stuck in a time warp and, you know, this is an old America, we're in a different America. You know, I kind of saw him as, I don't use the word throwing the first punch, but if we're to look at it in a strictly carnal way, it was like he threw the first punch in that sense. Mm-hmm. And, you know, talking about the old uncle, and we know about the old uncle syndrome, you know, he's senile, don't listen to what he says, you know, he doesn't really mean it. And when the Reverend spoke, I mean, he meant what he said. Mm-hmm. He meant what he said. And so the media, I feel, was emboldened by Obama's words, mm-hmm. and it sort of gave them the boldness to use words like wackadoodle and other strange, you know, infantile terms to describe the Reverend's words. And so I feel that, yes, the media handled it in a way that showed the ignorance of the black church experience, but I do believe that Obama gave them some fuel to throw in the fire also.
Well, do you say, or do you think that at some degree he's going to have to flip and flop, I mean, because everybody is, if you, depending on what city you're in and what demographic you're trying to attract, you always have to alter your message, because that's what historically has always happened when the politicians are talking to black folk and they come into the churches and do all the hooping and stuff and then act like they've never been in a black church before in their life. You know, okay,
well,
Bill and Hillary.
okay, let me just say that I've financially supported the Obama campaign. You know, so I do think I have a little right to speak critically, you know,
okay.
About Obama. But I feel that at least when I was attracted to the Obama campaign, you know, he was campaigning under a new brand of politics and the whole rhetoric of truth. And I feel, yes, there is a need not to ostracize your major base. And whether we like it or not, the fact that blacks are a minority in the United States of America, Obama can't win without white support, you know, but how do you articulate your views to an audience without ostracizing another important base? Yes,
right.
We're a minority base, but we're also an important base. When we look at the fact that blacks have been voting for Obama recently, you know, 90% of the vote, etc., you know, I don't believe he needs to take that for granted. And I feel, you know, when he made his statements, I said, well, he's either naive about the black experience or he's being overly political. Hmm. And if he's being overly political, that was a little disappointing to me, mm-hmm. in the sense that, you know, he says that he's running a new type of campaign.
Hmm.
So I'm not one who believes that there has to be lying and backbiting and mudslinging,
mm-hmm.
for a campaign to be successful, you know, and I still, you know, support Obama, you know, but
yeah.
I am disappointed with the way actually that he's handled some of these things, and I think that he's put some fuel, you know, in the white media's fire.
Okay, what do you say, Dr. June?
No, I would agree with that. I wish he had responded differently, but you could say there's a Monday morning quarterback.
Right.
Even in terms of the press conference that followed that Monday, and I agree, I think it's almost a tit for tat.
Yeah, it is.
You know, in the race speech, some things were said, and then he comes back. And it's hard to predict what Dr. Wright will do, but
right.
I agree that I think he comes out of a prophetic tradition. And it's kind of interesting to hear the media almost, in a sense, want to dictate
mm-hmm.
what it is that pastors are supposed to say.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Dr. Wright made it clear that you know, he answers to God.
Right.
You know, it's better to obey God than man.
Right.
And I think that's really what's happened.
Well,
and this is not over yet.
Even oh, no.
If he wins the nomination.
Oh, no.
They are going to keep coming after
him. Oh, absolutely.
And try
absolutely.
To push him further and further.
This is just the very beginning. So, you
yep.
know, get your remote and your popcorn ready, because Sean Hannity and Bill O'Reilly and Greta Van Susteren, they done pulled her in as a sideline cheerleader. And
yes.
Glenn Beck, they're just going to be, you know, they're the new gods now. They can tell us all how to think and what to do, because they want to take credit for getting all this stuff stirred up. So,
and this is a wish, but it won't happen. We need people like Dr. Burton and others who serve as commentators rather than some of the other people that
Woo.
They're putting up there on the national
I'm
press.
Wondering where these black folks are coming, where they
yeah,
get
right,
these people.
Right. I mean, there are scholars all over the nation
know it.
Who could help with the teachable moment.
Yes.
And they're not being utilized.
Not at all. And that's why I'm grateful to have both of you on with us today. We're talking Nashville with two of our former guests. It's time to put some light in the city with Dr. Keith Augustus Burton and Dr. Lee N. June. We don't want our listeners here at 88.1 to go with just what you hear on Fox and just be so confused. So during 8 o'clock hour, we're going to open up the phone lines and let you call in and chit-chat, talk, or raise a question up this morning. We're going to take a time out, though, Nashville, and then we'll be right back. What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is being brought to you by Shea Howard, affiliate broker with Zeitlin & Company Realtors, located at 4301 Hillsborough Road, Suite 100 in Nashville. Shea Howard, affiliate broker, can be reached at 383-0183 or online at SheaHoward.com. Shea Howard, the real estate professional you've been waiting for. And being brought to you by the Akibalon Images Bookstore. Store at 2721 Jefferson Street, the corner of 28th Avenue and Jefferson Street. Serving Nashville since 1986, the Akibalon Images Bookstore specializes in nonfiction, African American history, self-help, and children's books. The Akibalon Images Bookstore is open Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. For more information, call 321-4111 or by email at kenyatta36@aol.com.